जय जनरंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, जमुना तीर वन चारे, जमुना तीर वन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, जमुना तीर वन चारे, जमुना तीर वन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे।
जय वंशपाद परमहंस परिव्रज आचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेशल भैचरण अरविंद भक्ति विदान स्वामी जगत गुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, श्रीमद भागवतम महापुराण की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओ ग्लोरियस असेंबली बॉडीज, ओ ग्लोरियस असेंबली बॉडीज, ओ ग्लोरियस असेंबली बॉडीज, ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 8 chapter number 5. The demigods appeal to the Lord. These are the prayers of the devatas. Text number 48 today. 49. Very nice verse today. यथा हि स्कंद शाखानां तरोः मूल अवसेचनम् एवं आराधनम् विष्णुः सर्वेषां आत्मनः च हि यथा हि स्कन्दशाखानां तरोर्मूलावसेचनम् एवमाराधनं विष्णुः सर्वेषामात्मनश्च हि यथा हि स्कन्दशाखानां तरोर्मूलावसेचनम् एवमाराधनं विष्णुः सर्वेषामात्मनश्च हि यथा हि स्कन्दशाखानां तरोर्मूलावसेचनम् एवमाराधनं विष्णुः सर्वेषामात्मनश्च हि Mothers. Yatha is he. Indeed, skandha of the trunk, shakhanam, end of the branches, taroho of a tree, mula, the root, avasechanam, watering, evam, in this way, aradhanam, worship, Vishnu. Of Lord Vishnu, Sarvesham, of everyone, Atmanaha, of the Super Soul, Cha, also, He, indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the super soul of everyone. As stated in Padma Puranam, Aradhananam hi sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devim tadiyanam samarchanam. Of all types of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is best. And better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotees, the Vaishnavas. There are many demigods worshipped by the people who are attached to material desires. Kama ista istir hata jnana prapadyante anya devataha. Because people are embarrassed by so many material desires, they worship Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord the goddess Kali, Durga, Ganesh, Surya, to achieve different results. However, one can achieve all these results simultaneously just by worshipping Lord Vishnu. As stated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 31st chapter, 14th verse, Yathātarur mūla nishchanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopo shakha pranopcha arascha yathendriyana tathaiva sarva arhanam achyutejya. Just by pouring water on the roots of a tree, one nourishes its trunk and all branches, fruits and flowers. And just by supplying food to stomach, one satisfies all the limbs of the body. Similarly, by worshipping Lord Vishnu, one can satisfy everyone. Krishna consciousness is not sectarian religious movement. Rather, it is meant for all embracing welfare activities for the world. One can enter this movement without discrimination in terms of caste, creed, religion, or nationality. If one is trained to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the origin of Vishnu Tattva, one can become fully satisfied and perfect in all respects. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shrakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste. Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yathahi Skanda Shakhanam, Taror Mulavas Echanam, Evam Aradhanam Vishnuho Sarvesham Atmanaschahi. Again, the translation is that, when one pours water on the roots of a tree, the trunks and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the super soul of everyone. So it means when you worship Lord Vishnu or Vishnu Tattva or Lord Krishna, everyone will be pleased. So what is the ignorance that is holding us? Especially this applies to different denominations and especially the hodgepodge Hindus. Material desires make our consciousness so corrupt that even though we may be worshipping Lord Krishna, but we do not want to give up the others. As if we don't have full faith on Krishna. Then what is the need of worship? Is the popularity? But the fact is that because Lord Krishna is the root of all, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna is the root cause of all causes. And iti matva, by understanding that way, one is called intelligent. Means people lack the intelligence. they keep on worshipping wholesale market. You know, I mean, is it something which is called the principle of religion? We don't have faith. We think Krishna is the ultimate, but let me serve my intermediate needs through the others. But Krishna is providing them. Why Krishna is not going to provide us directly? He asked direct worship, not an indirect worship even. There are, in Mahabharata it is said, Akashat patitam toyam yatha gacchati sagaram sarva devam namaskritim keshavam prati gacchati. They tried to argue that look, in Mahabharata it is said that just like a drop of water from the sky falls on the surface of the earth and gradually turns into rivulet and in the branches of contributing arteries of a river, and ultimately the river reaches to the sea. So similarly, if you worship through the demigods, gradually you will go to Keshava. But Keshava is asking something else. Yesterday we explained, Keshava is telling that no, Yanti Devrata Devan, Pitru Yanti Pitruta, Bhutani Bhutejayanti Madhyajinopimam. If you worship the demigods, you will go to the planets of demigods. It means it is not the highest result. Yet, it is not my worship. It is indirect. Just like the water is coming indirectly, not directly. The clouds also are there on the ocean, and they fall directly. That is the kind of worship Krishna demand. To pitrunyanti pitruta, if you worship your forefathers, then you will go to their planets, because they were doing better in Krishna consciousness, but still with material desires. And yet, because of the character of our previous forefathers was in line of Vedic tradition, so therefore Krishna has given them better benefit in Swargaloka. So Pitruloka is in Swargaloka. Kshine punye martya loke vishanti. They are wishing that by Shraddha ceremony their progeny and sons and daughters and everybody will try to liberate them. But they don't follow in Kali Yuga even the liberating method. So, what is Swargaloka? It is just like hell. It is going to put them down again back into the material platform of hard effects of Kali Yuga. So, Bhute Jayanti, if you worship the ghosts and goblins and what are the other, the black magic stuff, you know, you will go and reside in their planet, which is full of ignorance. These are not the destination, but people choose. But Krishna says, no, Madhyajinopi Mam, if you worship me, you will come straight to me. But why do you have to go to the straight? We want to do shopping, you know, in between. We want to see the world. And then we go last. The life is similarly, you know, in material sense also is eternal. In this way, even after revolving in the cycle of 8.4 million species of life, we forget Krishna every time. Forgetfulness is there. How to remove the forgetfulness? If you forget something, don't you have to cram the same thing to remind you? That's the way we were educated, by cramming, repeating. Why do we have to chant? Not only 16 rounds, but Prabhupada said 24 hours a day. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dradavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. The nitya yukta means 24 hours. Daily, no vacation. So, that is the bhakti yoga. Otherwise, shopping from different demigods is not bhakti yoga. You can't equate that. And this is the example. Prabhupada likes this verse so much. Yathātarur mrunishchanena. We have to pour water on the roots. So the trunk, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the fruits, flowers, everything will be nourished. Here it is said, they will become happy. If you pour water on the root, all the branches and twigs, they will be happy. Happiness is the real nourishment. But you can't nourish your body 24 hours. Neither the body is going to be nourished throughout your life. So, why to work on a temple? And by the way, if you worship even indirectly, Krishna says, what is the big deal? After all, I have sanctioned the demigods who are the managers of material affairs to provide you the necessities of life. So, what's the big deal? I am the giver to them, and to you get from them. But then you do not have interactions which are supposed to be cooperative. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims that paraspara sambhutam, it is a mutual thing. Demigods will provide you, but then you also give them their portion in the sacrifice. If you get something from devatas, then you have to give them. If you go to Lord Shiva, you simply throw a coin on his shivling. You know, they don't have even Purnami box like what we keep. They hit the shivling with the coin. The dogs can go in. Anybody can go in. Now what kind of worship is this? Actually it's an insult. To worship demigods in front of Krishna is an insult to both the demigods as well as Krishna. You may think that you can make the demigods out of your needs. Just like Santoshima. This worship started in 1961. Before that, there was no mention. And people started, all of a sudden, where is this deity coming from? Construe, and they kept Friday for her, you know, and only you can't eat anything but the roasted chana and maybe jaggery. Why? Oh, you want to have very good future. She satisfies everything. So if our life has to become satisfied, then go after worshipping Santoshima. That was their claim. And they made a deity of and worship So there are so many temples of Santoshima, even though there is no mention of her in all Vedic scriptures. And funny thing is that a human being is not supposed to be satisfied. That is his ingrained nature. Yesterday we talked on that sloka, Uttama Shloka Prabhu's house, we had a program. Maitreya Muni is explaining about the creation of ninth category of human beings. So he says, Aravak Strutrata Navam Kshatameko Vidhunram Rajo Adhika Karma Para Dukhecha Sukhamanina. The ninth creation is a very peculiar creation. Peculiarity is not found in any way, other species of life. Peculiarity is also called vichitra. It is so much outstanding from other common traits. The human being is endowed with very, very peculiar, unparalleled characteristics. It says, Arvak Strotratu Navamam, this ninth creation by Brahma, which is called Nara. Kshatta Eko Vidham Dranam. That Nara, you should know, that his stomach is upside down. Arvak Strotra, Arvak means hanging. Alright? And Strotra means the reservoir, where the real satisfaction would be. It's a center of satisfaction, is called stomach. But up to the first eight creations of Brahma, starting from simple living entity to quadruple animals, they have four legs. So they have their stomach horizontal to the surface of earth, because they are supporting themselves on four legs. Therefore, the stomach is horizontal. But this guy is standing on his 2 foot, so the stomach became perpendicular, upside down, what they call arvak strotram, arvak, hanging. It means it is not going to satisfy. Alright? There are so many examples. If you put a bag of rice right on the street, right? The birds will pick up little and fly away. Maybe there are no goats here, otherwise they will also put their mouth and they will eat. They spill more than they can eat. Anybody can come, but if you send a man, he will take the whole bag away. And still he will not be satisfied. So Arvak Strotra has a very specific meaning. Why a hanging cucumber? It's a hanging cucumber. Because it doesn't have any support. It hangs. The strotra means the stomach is hanging. So therefore, it has a very peculiar effect, never to satisfy. Moreover, Brahma added more of passion, an extra passion in human beings. So therefore, karma para, they become hyperactive. They want to do something. They want to recreate what has been already created by Brahma. This is the what they call fourth order of creation, the human being. You can see TV and this and that, all this creation are recreated by the human beings. They are also want to count themselves in the terms of creators. But what's the big deal? The things which are already created and then you recreate, it's like playing with Lego. You know, the kids play with the Lego, and they make different shapes out of that. And it's creation from the recreation or creation. That is tertiary, the fourth order, like that. You never know. And the scientists are going to do some more creations, you know, using the Higgs boson, you know, technology. They want to capture the God particle and they want to claim that they created God. Such nefarious activities are endowed through the potency of mode of passion. Yesterday I told them that it came in the news that there's a big experiment is going on in the border of France and Switzerland. The headquarters is Geneva. They made a 25 mile radius underground tunnel and sealed with proper situation. The helium gas is passed through, and just to cool down the splitting of the atom, it will generate immense energy, right? They spent about $48 billion, you know. They want to capture by creating a super hadron collider. The electron beams will collide with the protons and split the atoms, and they will take photograph through the computer generated image, you know, such minute splitting, and they get the image also, and they made special interpretative medium of computer graphics, so you can see this, the splitting of the atom, and different kinds of subparticles come out, and some particles which behave completely opposite to the characteristics of material particle, they call God particle. You know, Prabhupada describes this in Easy Journey to Other Planets. Right? Then in the very first chapter, he describes this. The two American scientists got Nobel Prize for postulating the antiparticular theory. And they say that there exists an antiparticle which have completely opposite characteristics of a material particle. Prabhupada said, we agree. You know? And there also exists an antiparticular world. Prabhupada said, we agree. So, but third proposal was that in given due course of time and circumstances, if these two worlds, material world and anti-material world, come together, there will be total devastations. And Prabhupada said, we do not agree with this. Parastasmaktu bhavanyo vyakta vyakta sanatana. Yasa vinashyati nate vinashyati. Even the material world will be destroyed, but that is not going to be destroyed. That is sanatana expectation. So our target in worship should be achieving that sanatana without splitting our hairs. If you see, when hair is splitted, there are different filaments coming out, and they exactly look like this the photograph obtained by the hadron collider, as if somebody is splitting hair, but they can't capture. And four years back they did the experiment. They announced that they are right, they got the Higgs boson particle, the God particle. But there were several of them
So out of several, they say, we do not know which one is God particle. But now they are claiming, yes, we targeted that this should be the God particle which is responsible to create this material energy. And it is available black or dark matter. We say Krishna is dark, he's black, but he's not matter, right? Anyway, this Vishnu Tattva, is their target also, but not faith based or conscious based. They are virtually like dead stones themselves. And recently they got frustrated. So out of frustration, they want to display their anger by going through some rituals that they concoct. And of tantric concoctions, they displayed a drama. The scientist, there is a group of scientists within that CERN experiment which is going on in Geneva, and they videoed it. You'll be surprised that Lord Shiva is Nataraj. His statue is in the sun's main entrance, and it's huge, about 20-25 feet big. I don't know why they brought Lord Shiva there, but they understand he is God. The God has form, and Shiva is the origin for the material, cosmic manifestation. But he's the master, he did not create. So again, it's an illusive aspect, but nonetheless, they put Lord Shiva. Anything that is humongous, they attribute to Lord Shiva or Vishnu. If you go to the Grand Canyon, and there are two peaks in the canyon, they call Vishnu peak and Shiva peak. There is also Brahma peak also there. Funny thing, how come our Vedic terminology has been creeped in, but anything that is humongous, they want to express in the terms of our Dev and Devatas. So they created a drama which was filmed, and it was horrible. They took up the subject of an occult matter, an occult ritual, which is tantric, where human sacrifice was the subject. Why human sacrifice they selected? Because after all, if you kill somebody, it's a matter of releasing the entire material particle. Right? And those people who were filming, they abruptly saw this and they started abusing in very, very dirty language. And it became an objection within the scientist. Now the case and an investigation is going on. This is done right in front of Lord Shiva. Means they are frustrated with the experiment, and the frustration is ultimately by taking life, an occult ritual. They lost their mind. How can such a idea can enter into this kind of scientist? There are about 2500 scientists involved in these experiments. They do not know. The Vaishnava theology is putting us straight on the root cause, not the side effects. We are not going to worship the branches and the twigs and hold on to the main trunk so you can approach the root. So this is our pathway that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chalked out. So because we pour water, where would you pour water? On the twigs, branches? No, on the roots. So this is the verse which is described here, and Prabhupada says that even in Padma Purana this has been said. Means the same truth is being repeated from one Purana to another because the same author is there. There is no deviation. It is to support the fact. Aradhananam hi sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param. And who tells this? Lord Shiva tells to Parvati. Lord Shiva is telling that out of all the worshipable, Lord Vishnu's worship is the best. But better than Lord Vishnu's worship is the worship of his devotees. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Tadiya means the paraphernalia of the Lord. Paraphernalia are easily accessible than the Lord. If you worship the holy name, because it is Tadiya, it belongs to, even though it is so-called nomenclature, but yet it's profound, it is in tune with the subject matter. The subject and object are non-different. That is the rule of the spiritual life. There is no difference between subject and object. So when we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, then all the requirements of nurturing our devotional service, our ultimate goal of life, will be, you know, perfect. All the requirements are perfect. This is called sansiddhim paramamgata. Mamupetyatu kaunteya dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana. Sansiddhim paramamgata. You can't say anything with the demigods. That's not samsiddhim. People make them gods. We heard in St. Louis, somebody was talking about, everything is okay, you are worshipping Krishna, but single God is not a good idea. There should be many gods. Why? So if you don't like one, you can go to other. Means, are you God of gods that you have to choose and you have to worship to satisfy your whims? Who is God? You become God in front of the gods, and therefore you need assistance. But you want to remain yourself God. It's Mayavad philosophy. Never worship devatas. Neither they require, neither they demand. They become happy if you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is no necessity to keep them even by the side of Lord Krishna. If you go to such hodgepodge understanding, because even in family so many different people are worshipping different. No, Krishna conscious philosophy is unifying everything. And therefore everybody has to understand, or not only one person has to understand. Everybody has to understand, and that is the duty of the household life. That's why we take the guidance from the Guru, because he will tell the truth, because he has seen the truth. Rest is our culture of how we behave with him. But the important aspect of the Guru Tattva is that we have to come to the final conclusion of worshipping the Supreme Moiety, Lord Shri Krishna. So, there is another example also that Prabhupada quotes in, that if the stomach is provided with the food, then it will be distributed to all the different organs of the body. So everything will be satisfied. One cannot rebel or make his own idea. The hand may say, oh, I work hard, I bring the bread, so it's mine. Okay, have it, Prabhu. Then he will also starve, the entire body will starve. So, devatas are angas, or the, what we call the organs of the body. They are all connected with Krishna, the whole body. And therefore, we must, supply to the stomach. This is exactly also told in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that bhakti parishanu bhava virakti anyatra ek kala prapadyamanas chakshut apta cha anughasam. Anughasam means morsel after morsel. When a hungry man is eating the first morsel, and then second morsel. So similarly, by accepting our process, which is perfect, not only the bhakti will be manifested, but parishanubhava will be also manifested. Parishanubhava means realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tushti, pushti, tushti. Pushti means the nourishment, tushti means satisfaction, and the establishment of the healthy situation. At every morsel you will realize. So, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Why do we chant Hare Krishna? Yeah, we are pouring our devotion in the roots. Why we don't chant other mantras? And Kali Yuga, the existence of the sansara, the material tree, the main root is Krishna. So we are approaching the direct root, and we pour water of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the pivotal aspect of our duty in devotional service. Chant Hare Krishna and try to please Lord Krishna. Then when Krishna is pleased, everything else will be pleased. Simple. But for the complicated people, it is complicated. They can't take out the other so-called lovable personalities. They can't remove, because it comes from the tradition. But they should understand that why do you have to do redundancy? And that also indirectly, once you are having direct connection. So Krishna consciousness is the simple, short, and what we call through and through to the target. We don't have faith in what will be our life without material thing. Or what will I do when I go back home, back to Godhead? No employment? Now, we seek to the original employment. There is no question of unemployment there. We do not have to struggle for survival. It's only the material world where we have to cultivate the implicit faith on Lord Krishna. If so many are there, you will not have anything implicit. It will be all explicit again. Too many, devatas are there. 33 crores of devatas are there. How many you want to worship? Just have implicit faith on the Supreme Personality of Godhead by using our intelligence. Don't go after mind. Mind is making us mad. We have to hold on to Srila Prabhupada, who brought monotheistic aspect of the absolute truth. So anybody has any question?
Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. I have two questions. The first question, you quoted some verse from Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 that we need to satisfy demigods, and in exchange, demigod will provide something to us. And that's the Krishna is explaining to Arjuna in chapter number 3. And the very next verse after that, that Yajna Sishtashana Santo, that you should offer the food to demigods. Yajna Sishtashana Santo. So, Krishna could have immediately told Arjuna that you don't have to do demigod worship, you don't have to provide food to demigods, just provide food to me. Instead of telling directly, he explains so many yoga processes and then he is telling, come to me. Any reason behind that?
No. There are obligatory services to be performed by one who is engaged in the material life. Therefore, they have to be respectful to the functions of the demigods. Devotees are not disrespecting the demigods. Right? But that is only temporary. Just like giving oblations. For a householder, he has to give oblations to his forefathers by performing Shraddha ceremony. But the best oblation for the forefathers is to become Krishna conscious and then execute your services. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya under the pretense of giving oblation to his father who passed away, right? The Shraddha ceremony. But we do not hear whether he really performed Shraddha ceremony or not. Some say yes, he did it. But others say no. He went because he was called for the spiritual upliftment. He has to take Diksha from Madhavendra Puri. He knew. So those who are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if demigods are not required to be worshipped separately, why the forefathers have to be worshipped separately? So only those obligations are those who are karmically, obligated. Devarshi bhutapta nranam pitronam Ayam kinkaracha narpatim charajan. Sarvatmanaya saranam saranyam gato mukundam pariratti krityam. Is it not? So those obligations are otherwise there. And that is for material management. So pious, religious, righteous people are not necessarily called devotees. Devotees are single-minded devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the multiple hordes of demigods. That is for material activity. So they have an obligation to balance, you know, because they are social members of the society. They live in not independently, but interdependently. Therefore, they have to perform, you know, obligatory services to the society, services to the even servants, because they provide service. Services to the rishis, or a government, you have to pay tax. It's not; it's your obligation. At the same time, you have to, serve the rishis who are guiding the humanity by their, proper guidance, and the devatas who are the managers. So all these entities, they are superiors in the material life, but nobody is superior than Krishna in spiritual life. So that realm is completely different. So naturally one has to live in harmony with the demigods also. Only the demons do not want to live in harmony with the demigods. A human being can come from the demoniac traits also.
Verse was for the Karmi, Karma Yoga, that's the chapter name. So it's for the Karmi people, right? That verse?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. Those who are entangled, especially.
I have a second question, but I'm passing this microphone to him. I'll take after him.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. As devotees, we may, at least we theoretically, we accept that we worship the root, but sometimes we may be doing it improperly. And this, my question is kind of related to the previous verse from yesterday. It says if one does a little devotional service, that's a great benefit. And my question is kind of related to the pastime of Hanuman and the spider. Hanuman was lifting boulders in the sea, and the spider was lifting dust. So it's the Lord essentially said that actually the spider's doing a lot of devotional service and Hanuman was doing very little because he was proud. So as practicing devotees, generally how can we determine whether our character is improving? Because usually we judge character based on results. If I'm getting a lot of, like Prabhupada says, purity is a force. If I have a lot of purity, humility, devotion, I should get results. But that's not necessarily true from this pastime. But still, how can we determine whether our character is improving? Maybe not necessarily based on results. So, can you explain that a little bit?
You are talking of two different things: righteous activities and devotional service. Devotional service is beyond; it is transcendental in nature. Other activities are material in nature, maybe performed in mode of goodness, but yet it yields a binding result. Even if you work in righteous way, means mode of goodness, anticipation of knowledge and happiness is the tags you have to carry. That is not going to liberate you. But devotional service is completely distinct from material activity, because it is connected on the spiritual platform. It's a different realm altogether. You can't equate. Now, human being in, say, cultured aspect may be righteous, but he has to forget the righteousness and ready to accept whatever Krishna is telling. Otherwise, righteousness may be a good attachment, in mode of goodness, and he wants to do his way. But Krishna says it's foolishness. Foolish piety will not make you reach, go back home, back to Godhead. So you have to make a very distinction between the two activities. You can't compare devotional service to the Supreme Lord on the same level as, piety.
I'd ask a follow-up question with the mode of goodness, how it binds one. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one is conditioned, I don't know the exact word, he seems to have happiness and he seems to have knowledge. How does one seem to have happiness and knowledge in the mode of goodness?
When his consciousness is attached towards the acts of goodness, benevolence, but he cannot compare to the ultimate what we call karuna aspect of the Lord. A devotee is so much compassionate because of a person would have ignorance about the self and super self. Those who are in mode of goodness, they may try to be benevolent like good Samaritan, but nobody is touching the spiritual aspect of that person. So the highest welfare activity is performed by a devotee, not a good Samaritan in mode of goodness. Isn't it? So, seems to be, he's happy, yes, in mode of goodness, happiness or what we call the content is there. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalo bhadasche cheta etar anavidam sthitam sattve prasidati. Sattve prasidati means in the mode of goodness, one experiences happiness. But evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha. Perform the spiritual activity in the mode of goodness, not material activity. Just chant Hare Krishna in the mode of goodness with enthusiasm, determination. Ready to tolerate all the inconveniences because it will change your mood. Maybe you will become passionate or you'll become ignorant even. Now, hold on to the mode of goodness and continue. Then, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate, you will achieve the transcendental realization, the self-realization, by which you will become liberated. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam means the absolute truth about the Supreme Person will be revealed to you, by which you will become liberated. Then carry on in the liberated, the pure devotional service that will be taking you to the love of God, not prior to that. Anything else? Mother Lakshmi Muni?
Right. Haribo. Shri Prabhupada ki? Yeah.